Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Recent purchases: All-Star Western presents Outlaw number 7. So I have all the Jonah Hex issues, but I'm still working on filling that run. So that helps me. This is a beautiful cover. Star-Spangled War Stories, Enemy Ace 141, Stand Your Mark, One Shot to the Death, Ready Aim. Looks like they're going to shoot the enemy ace. God, I love that cover. Weird War Tales, number 26. It's got, it looks like two German soldiers stabbing each other. And they're one's a skeleton. Weird War Tales, number 27. Nazi submarines coming out of the water. And the Americans are in a raft. And they're startled because it's a skull. Weird War Tales, number 28. Looks like there's a giant Bigfoot ready to take on the Americans. Weird War Tales, number 30. A guy breaks down a door, you know, kicks it down, and there's a skeleton in there like, come in. Come hither. Weird War Tales, number 52. This is a Joe Kubert cover, I can tell. It's a Nazi punching another soldier in the pulling his shirt off. And then he's ripping the back of the other Nazi's shirt off. And there's a skull in the background. Weird War Tales, number 84. This is a Joe Kubert cover. It looks like they're playing Risk. No, there's a officer in the middle and they're strategizing over a map. And there's a demon overhead. House of Mystery, number 182. A woman is jumping into a mirror and the young boy is startled by it. House of Mystery, 221. It's one of those carnival, what do they call them? Carousels. And there's a ghost or skeleton riding one of the horses on the carousel. We have House of Mystery, 283. This is a guy at an office getting infested by bugs, and bugs shall inherit the earth. House of Secrets, number 91. This is the issue before the first appearance of Swamp Thing. Death by the Eagle's Talon. An eagle is crashing into the window, and there's a beautiful woman running away. This one has a piece of painter's tape on the cover. I don't know why, so I'm taking it off. Maybe it's covering, somebody wrote a D on her white dress. If they covered it with some painter's tape, then it makes it a fine copy. House of Secrets, number 93. This guy is pulling over a blanket and there's a woman next to him. And it looks like they're pulling it over a guy with a pillowcase over his head that looks like very strange. He's in pajamas. Lonely in death, never kill a witch's son. House of Secrets, number 124. This is a boy grabbing the hands of a demon or a devil, and his friends are looking outside the door like, don't do it! House of Secrets, number 125. A girl is running with a cat, and there's a big cat getting ready to kill her. Unexpected, number 106. This is the second issue of the newly branded, I think it used to be called Tales of the Unexpected, but it became the Unexpected. Weird World of Johnny Pearl, and he's going, Tara, what have I done to you, Tara? He destroyed one thing he loved the most when he entered the doorway into time, and there's aliens over the cover. The Unexpected 111, You Can't Escape the Wheel of Misfortune, has already decreed your fate, and the guy is running away from a witch and her wheel of fortune, if you will. The Unexpected, number 112, Beware World, I have absorbed your evil, and with it I shall crush you. That's an interesting cover. This is a Neil Adams cover. 118. some guys looking in the window, and there's a ugly demon in a purple outfit with ravens and frogs in there. Why is everyone afraid of Hester? Unexpected. 128. This guy has a trapped in the mirror. Old woman's looking for him. Ivan, where are you? Where only the dead are free. The vengeful ghost and two more eerie epics. Unexpected. 130. A beautiful woman answers the door to this young man. Welcome home, dear. Our new neighbors dropped in. They're dying to meet you, and they look like they're dead. Unexpected. 131. This is a guy and another guy opening a door, and he looks like he's a hunter because he's got stuff mounted on the wall. What a fantastic collection. How can I become a member of your club? Come on, let me show you. And it looks like he has to die to become a member of the club. Unexpected. 133. It's two young boys hiding in a cemetery. It's called The School of Fear. 52 pages. Another 52 pager. Number 135. A young boy is climbing into a clubhouse. I am going to hide in my treehouse, and mom will never find me again. And there's a demon or a hairy guy, like Solomon Grundy monster in there. Unexpected. 167, 25 cent. Death Watch, Scared Stiff, Murder by Mail. It's two guys, what looks like a laser cannon, being chased by a red demon comet. Unexpected. 168. A woman holding her doll, and it's got a knife in its hand, and there's somebody dead laying underneath the bed. And then a guy is looking at footprints, and they look like they're alien. Who killed Raggedy Annie in Freak Accident? Witching Hour. 155. Come in. You were dying to meet my parents, were you? She's introducing them to two skull parents. Kiss the boys and make them die. Witching Hour. 58. A school bus is coming to pick up a young boy, and the parents are waving, and it's a skeleton. It says, Camp Fear. Witching Hour. 60. There's a witch in the background overlooking three boys looking into a window, and there's a hanging skull, and the guy's like, come in, come hither. Number 73, a skull guy is in a suit, and two guys are hanging over a ledge. Mister, please help us, or we'll be killed. He doesn't look like he's going to help him, because he's dead. Witching Hour 84, this is a guy cliff climbing a mountain on a rope. And, Mount Rushmore. He's climbing Mount Rushmore, and there's the president's faces and then a skull right next to it. And on the left, there's a witch. I got a Pebbles and Bam Bam number 7. Looks like Bam Bam's hitting on some other girl, and he's doing bird calls, and there's a vulture there waiting. Flintstones and the Flintstones number 7 from Charlton. It's a really nice cover by Ray Durgo. Fred is roasting a hot dog on a dragon's breath. And the only thing bad about this cover is somebody painted a beard on Fred with a pen. And then we got Hanna-Barbera Picnic. This is an interesting one because I couldn't find it in my database. There was a title called Hanna-Barbera Picnic, and this is number 3, but this one it says Summer Picnic, and I look at the Indisa, whatever how you say it, and it says Summer Picnic. So they like changed the name, but they kept it underneath the old one, which is really weird. So it was hard for me to find in my database, but I found it. So that wraps up these. We'll get to some questions if I have some, but this is part 1. I'm recording it because I want to enter these into a database. I'll talk to you later. Welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's been a while since I recorded this. I have like 3 episodes stacked up where I recorded the first half. and then didn't record the second half. So, yeah, I'm finally getting to it. The first half was obviously what I purchased recently. I purchased another handful that I forgot to record about. But I took pictures of them, and I already started. Did I already inventory them? I don't know what I did with them. I think I did inventory them. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I have to go through and verify one or two into the database. I think I inventoried everything that I had except my Kickstarters last weekend. But let's get to listener questions. I'll finally get to Dallow Spicer's question. Do a review of Absolute Batman. I know you're a mood reader, but this book has created a lot of buzz. There's a reason that this created a lot of buzz, I think. It was a pretty big book, and I think a lot of people slept on it because they weren't expecting anything other than an Elseworlds story. And what they got, what I think they got, is like a new Dark Knight. I really do. Dark Knight Returns. I think this reimagining of Batman just clicked with so many people. I thought it was a 5 out of 5. I thought Wonder Woman was a 5 out of 5. I haven't read Absolute Superman yet, but I hope to this weekend if I get caught up on my Geek Brunch must reads that we have to cover. I haven't read a lot during the week. I've been coming home exhausted. I'm getting really tired, you know. Like, work is draining me. It's like draining the life out of me. Too much mental energy I'm expending at such an old age. But Absolute Batman, the art was really phenomenal. I think the early images were, wow, Batman looks huge. But it, you know, when you think about Dark Knight, you know, that wasn't like typical artwork. You know, you needed to do something that would resonate and be different. And I think that Nick Dragotta did a fantastic job. It's going to put his name on the map. Like, he's been popular for Image books and a lot of other books where people have liked his work. But this one is kind of like that body of work that maybe a million people will see. I don't know if it gets into that. If you include all the digital and everything, maybe there will be a lot. But it'll probably be 100,000. That's usually what it is for a comic book. If you can get that, that's a good thing. I know it went back to press for a second print, sold out. Third print, I think, sold out. Yeah, it's been doing really good. Really good. What I did notice, though, is my shop. I mean, this is just looking from my comic shop purview. Is he underordered significantly? Like, I think what he did is he based his orders, like, how many pre-orders am I getting? And nobody was pre-ordering it. So he said, oh, I'll get like 25, 30 copies. And he sold out the day of. Like, it was out the door. Boom. It's gone. And he said, oh, I went there and I remember asking him, like, you get 100 copies of Ahsoka and Amazing Spider-Man and you didn't get 100 copies of Absolute Batman? I said, that's really weird. Because you would have sold a lot of the ratios for sure, you know. But he didn't do it. But I did notice that he must have ordered a lot of number two. Because there were a lot of them there. There was at least a stack of probably 25 to 30. Not all of cover A, but combined. So that may be like four or five different covers that he got. So I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know where he's at. I should have asked him. at once I saw that stack, I was like, you know, just out of curiosity how it was selling. And the early images of him being so big, you know, sitting there with an unusual bat symbol. It doesn't even look like a bat symbol. It looks like a rectangle with little bleeps in it to make it look sort of like a bat, I guess. And he looks huge, like something out of a manga or, I don't know, like video game. But I think the story was like solid. The artwork, you know, the story by Scott Snyder was solid. He introduces a Batman on this new world that isn't rich. And he appears to be raised with a bunch of other kids that happen to be Penguin, Riddler, Two-Face, Catwoman, Killer Croc. I can't remember all of them because I don't have the book in front of me, but there's like a picture that he was looking at when they were all kids. And it does feature Killer Croc and the Joker somewhat. Well, the Joker was one of the other kids. Penguin. I don't know if I mentioned him. But, yeah, I don't know if they're going to be villains or what they're going to be. Killer Croc doesn't appear to be. He owns a gym. That's where Bruce was working out. Bruce seems to have talked to somebody a lot smaller than him. I actually thought the first guy punching the punching bag was Batman, but it turns out that maybe that's Dick Grayson. I don't know in this world. But then Bruce came back later and knocked the shit out of the punching bag, knocked it off the thing. There's a new terrorist group that's terrorizing Gotham. They look a lot like the Black Mask Gang. You know how the Black Mask Gang wears a bunch of masks? They pretty much terrorize everything. Like, it's Gotham's utter chaos. The commissioner's there. He has a daughter that's I think she was a cop. Barbara. And one of the events that he's at to try to help stop crime in Gotham is raided by these gangsters that are destroying all of Gotham. And it introduces that Alfred, who has nothing to do with Bruce Wayne, who's working for an organization that like just wants him to do surveillance of the situation, like the situation involving the Black Mask members and what's going on there. He wants to, you know, get involved when he sees bad things happening, but they's like, you know, you're there to watch and that's it, you know. But they said you can strike when the Batman shows up. You can strike against him. So that part was interesting. One of the things I really like is like this Batman is like doesn't fuck around, man. Yeah, he pulled out a fucking battle axe like this out of his utility belt. It must be something that like could, you know, starts off small and goes like a transformer and extends it to this huge battle axe. And yeah, there was just a lot of cool things. And I look forward to seeing issue 2 and where it goes. The first issue was extra size. You know, there were like, it seemed like there was like 40 pages and it was really dense. And the second issue doesn't seem as dense. I'll probably read it this weekend, which is disappointing because the price is still $4.99. So that kind of stinks. But other than that, Absolute Comics are, you know, Wonder Woman did a great job of establishing that character as well. The big thing there is that Hermes brought down Diana to like hell to be raised by Circe, which is fascinating, which she was like in prison there. And that's the big catch there. And she Cersei can't mention the word Amazons for some reason because of something they did to the gods. So maybe Hermes is good, maybe he's bad. Maybe he hid Diana from Zeus because something the Amazons did. It's still to be determined. She started off like a little baby with Cersei and then came to a full adult, it looks like, you know, adulthood before she left the island, and she's stopping like an invasion of strange creatures that are coming down on Gateway City, which we all know from Wonder Woman's, that is where Wonder Woman usually is, Gateway City. And there's these huge creatures that are attacking Gateway City, and she goes to protect them. Also carrying one of those huge swords. But so far, they were both 5 out of 5 for me. Batman was slightly better. But the more and more I thought about Wonder Woman, the more and more I appreciated it. Yeah. That was to answer your question about the absolute buzz. And I did want to read it right away before it became too publicized, that I would not be surprised. And for the most part, I was surprised. Like, I had read it before any podcast that I listened to had gotten to it. So that was pretty good. Let's see. There's one more question from Dallow. Let me unbookmark that now. Been getting good at these unbookmarkings. He says, did you buy the DC versus Marvel omnibus? I caved to FOMO and impulse bought it. I did buy it, and the reason I bought it was because it was sort of FOMO, but it's one of those things that, like Micronauts, you never thought it would be ever, like, where two companies come together and they come to agreement, and then you see it, and then you never see it again because they're out of print or the agreements are no longer in place, like Hasbro and Marvel and the people that did Godzilla and Marvel. And just recently, they released the Micronauts. They released ROM. So guess what? I jumped on those omnibus too, and I'm kind of like decreasing my collected editions. But because of the nature of those collected editions, I jumped on those too. I love collected editions, and I miss them. But I also have so much comics to read. So I got to keep reminding myself every time I add a collected edition, you know, like, when are you going to read this? When are you going to retire to have time? What is it going to take away from reading that you already have? You know, ask these kind of hard questions. But the DC versus Marvel omnibus does have the Superman Spider-Man book in there. And I had just read it, and it was amazing. I had bought the treasury-sized collected edition that I've always wanted. I saw ads for and never ever got a chance or opportunity to buy it. And then when I did have an opportunity to buy it, I get like a squirrel and buy something else. But yeah, and then I'll get to one more question. This is from Dennis Chandler. And he says, how large is your previews collection? My previews collection is not too large because I used to throw them out. But I have went back and bought some, like a handful of old ones, because they are podcast gold to, you know, talk about stuff. I talked about some on Mike M's. And if I get an opportunity with less questions and less purchases, that's probably what I'll go to do to fill some of the time. I would say probably a 100 deep. And some of those 100 are really old ones. Like I have a couple snippets of what's fascinating to me is I have a couple upstairs from like the 2000s, right? Right before New 52 and the industry wasn't doing so well. And I looked at the size of previews, and then I look at the size of previews now, and Diamond lost almost all the Marvel and DC, the two biggest publishers. And the previews now is bigger. So I can't figure out where everything's going, except for like there seems to be a lot of like publishers that are just putting back stock in there now. And I don't know if that's going to be their new paradigm. We talked about it a little bit on the show, but I would say it's 100 deep. I put them in boxes, at my storage unit, and I don't know. Like I don't know if I'll be able to sell them, but some of them are worth money. You'd be surprised. I went to the Baltimore Comic Con, and there was a guy selling the first previews that had Spawn in it for like $1,000. And I was like, I really want that, but is that really $1,000 to me? You know? And I was like, I'd rather have Blade. And I didn't come home with the first appearance of Blade either, so I don't know. I don't know how that a preview, selling a previews is definitely going to be harder to sell or get rid of than a first appearance of Blade. So I got to also think about stuff like that. Dennis also asked, did you ever collect any comic shop news or any of the other monthly comic newsletters? No, but my comic shop used to get them and I used to read them and then throw them out. The comic shop news were like little newspapers, probably about 10 pages. And I think they're still being published because I think I saw them in previews. Their cost to comic shops is minimal, but I think a lot of comic shops, like I can't find one that carries it anymore. Like mine doesn't carry it anymore. Because the cost and the space and stuff is just not worth it for people picking it up. I'll do one other question. I see you posting on the Lobos. What college sports teams do you follow and why? Okay. The Lobos I post because I am a Lobo. I graduated from the University of New Mexico in electrical engineering. So I used to go to all the games as a student. I used to watch them prior. The Lobos have always been a part of my life growing up as a kid. I went to Michael Cooper camp. Michael Cooper camp, I think, just made the NBA Hall of Fame. I got to meet, through Michael Cooper camp, Kurt Rambis, James Worthy, Byron Scott, Michael Cooper, and Magic wasn't there. Kareem wasn't there. I can't remember if there was one other famous Laker. But Michael Cooper was a Lobo. I even remember the coach when I was a kid. His name was Norm Ellenberger. So yeah, I've always followed basketball, never football, but this year I started watching Lobo football just because they have an explosive offense and they are so fun to watch. Like if they had a decent defense, they would be really, really good. And they beat a ranked team this year. It was a ranked 18. And yeah, so that's why I follow the Lobos. And that's pretty much all the college sports that I watch. Like I'll watch Lobo basketball games whenever I can get them. Like if I can get them off of the internet or if I can watch on the app, the Mountain West app, or if they're on FS1 or CBS Sports Network, I will watch them. Every basketball game that I get. And then I pretty much don't follow any other basketball teams until the Final Four. Well, actually, the March Madness. So starting with 64 teams or whatever it is I'll start watching those basketball, college basketball. And don't really do football except on holidays, college football, and people are eating turkey or watching sports. That's the only time I'll tune into some football. But I'll keep watching the Lobos football now this year because they were just exciting. Usually they're not good at all, and they have a decent team this year. They might even go to a bowl game. It's been like Seems like 10 years since we've been to one. It's usually the New Mexico Bowl, but I'll take it. So thanks for asking that question. I got to talk about the Lobos. We'll stop with that. I will count some comics, and I will be right back. All right, I'm back. And we're going to be going over books read from September 2nd to September 8th of 2024. We're going to talk about things I watched. I watched Fallout, the TV series on Amazon Prime based on the video game. Or maybe it's a board game. I don't know what kind of game it is. But I enjoyed that quite a bit. I watched The Killer. I can't even remember what that was about. This has been so long. Let me see what this is. It's a 4 out of 5, but I don't remember it. DB. Let's see. The There's probably gonna be a couple movies called The Killer, but I just need a image to refresh my. Yeah, there's so many of them. It wasn't Michael Fassbender. Is it this one? Yeah, it was the John Woo movie. Assassin tries to make amends in an effort to restore the sight of a beautiful young singer. Yeah, this was pretty good. And then she has a run-in with it's basically about an assassin and a cop and how they team up. Stars Natalie Emmanuel, Omar Sy, and Sam Worthington. Yeah, it was highly entertaining. That was on Peacock. I watched it and I'd recommend it. I think it's based on this is a remake, and I think you'll enjoy it. So I think somebody told me on Twitter it was a remake. Didn't even know it was. And then I have to refresh my memory on this one too. Sick. So this was from 2022 on Peacock as well. Oh, this was a really good one. This was due to a pandemic. Parker and her best friend decide to quarantine at a family lake house, or so they think. And then there's killers, and then I don't want to give away what is actually the killers or killer, because I think that's what makes this movie. But it happens during the pandemic. The COVID pandemic, which is really made this really entertaining. You can watch Sick on Peacock as well. So those are both 4 out of 5. I couldn't remember the titles, but they were a lot of fun. There are a total of 20 comic books, one Marvel, one IDW, one Eros, two DC, at least I think it's two, Dark Horse 6, Comixology 2, Charlton 1, CEX 1, Boom 2, Antarctic Press 3. So we'll go with the 3 out of 5s, Wire Fence. This is from CEX. Number 1, an indigenous woman saves a boy in the Wild West with her barbed wire control powers. Avengers 396. This is from the original Volume 1 series. The Avengers assemble right after the crossing to take on Libra and the Zodiac. We then get to the 4 out of 5s. Charlton Action featuring Static, number 1. Static story, a monster robot story of revenge against a DWT kid, a DWI kid, and a similar space hero like Captain Atom. So there were like three stories in it, and I thought it was entertaining. I picked up some more Static stories, but from a different publisher. So I guess somebody got the right to print these Steve Ditko stories, and I think I have a full run of them now, but not through Charlton. Horror Comics 31 through 33. This had vampires, werewolves, and Frankenstein. I think you'll enjoy the origin point in horror comics because it involves like a Creature Commandos type story. Elizabeth Bathory, number 16, more of her backstory and the vampire that fucks her, but won't turn her. He won't actually turn her into a vampire like she wants. She starts bathing in the blood of young peasant virgins, and upgrades to upper class when her skin is not getting any younger. Slow Burn, number 1, a girl and her boyfriend head into an abandoned town which might turn into a sinkhole. Her boyfriend was shot during the heist, and they run into a man and a woman in a town. You got Plastic Man, No More from DC Comics. In the Justice League adventure, Plastic Man runs into a villain who destabilizes his arm. And it is no longer thought he's going to come up. He's basically thought he's going to come apart, and he's trying to make peace with his family and talk to his son. Enjoyable Plastic Man story, but very atypical. It seems like they're going into the serious, and even when he's played seriously, like in JLA and stuff like that, he's always quippy and stuff. And this one seems like a darker take on Plastic Man. It is a black label story. We got Batman, Superman, World's Finest. I didn't write the numbers down for this, so I just assume it's 2. Batman and Superman send Demon Nezha into the Phantom Zone, and Supergirl returns with Trap from the past, but loses Robin. Nezha gets out of the Phantom Zone, but with the help of the Doom Patrol, they trap Nezha. Now they need to go past into the past to rescue Robin. We have Under Heist number 1. This is from Boom. This is a David Laugham story with his wife, Laugham. A man who's in trouble, owes money, plans a heist which turns into a disaster. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Night Watcher. Janica protects the mutants as Night Watcher. A lot of interviews with civilians about the Night Watcher character and narrated by a rhino boy. This is very interesting. Since the Ninja Turtles relaunched, you got Night Watcher, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by Jason Aaron, Mutant Nation, and I forget what the other one is, but they all seem to be thematically tied into the same universe and the same things going on. So it's got like a continuity to it. That's really cool. We got Cold Hard Cash. This was the Comixology digital only one. I don't think it's available in print. Ex-Vegas showgirls help a school that is being blackmailed and are working to find out who did it. It's really good if you get a chance or have Comixology Unlimited or Comixology. This is your opportunity to read a good story. Black Hammer 1 and 2. This one I had read before, but I reread Black Hammer because I stopped it too. Not because it wasn't good, just because I lost track of it with all the damn comics I've been getting. This is the first volume. The first one talks about a group of heroes who are now trapped in a small town. One little girl is like Shazam, except she turns to a young hero. So she's an older woman that turns young instead of a young boy who turns old. It's the opposite of Billy Batson, and she is struggling with being trapped in her young body. Have not figured out who Abraham is supposed to be, but it's their version. But there is a Captain Weird who is like Adam Strange and another character that's Martian Manhunter. I think the Abraham character is like Captain America. So, like, I was really confused. I was just recently listening to 11 O'Clock Comics. I listen to that podcast whenever I run out of stuff, and because Liefeld sort of, well, Comics for Fun and Profit is not regular anymore. Liefeld podcast is on hiatus until the new year starts. So it opened up opportunity to listen to some 11 O'Clock Comics. And Jason Wood was talking about how he loved it, how it reminded him of the JSA. And I was like, but none of them mapped the JSA. Yes, Shazam was sort of in the Geoff Johns JSA, but Martian Manhunter wasn't, and Adam Strange wasn't, and Captain America wasn't. So, yeah, I didn't know what he was thinking there. But, or maybe he got his, maybe he mapped in his mind to some other characters that I'm not aware of, but I'm pretty sure that Captain Weird is Adam Strange. There's even like concepts of the Ran beam, or, you know, the beam that zaps him back and forth to Ran. Is it the Zeta beam? I think it's named after a character. I can't remember the name of the beam. God, I'm getting old. Cyberpunk 2077, You Have My Word, 1 through 4. What I ended up finding out is I love these books. I started reading the Cyberpunk on the digital app, Comixology. So, like, I'm trying to justify and rotate stuff that I read on the apps because I have 3 digital subscriptions plus all the fucking comics I buy in physical form. I have DC, I don't even know what it's called, Marvel Unlimited, DC, the one that's released a month after it's released, and Comixology. Comixology is the most difficult one of the, to find stuff. It's horrible. And you really have to search on a computer to, like, put stuff into your queue because the app itself, it's not easy to, like, filter on what's free to me. That's what I want to do. What I really want to do, because it wants to give you Kindle Unlimited. Kindle Unlimited is not Comixology Unlimited, and Kindle Unlimited has comics in it, too, that you don't have access to if you just have Comixology. So finding stuff is really difficult, but I did find some of these cyberpunks and fell in love with the stories. It's a woman, still 4 out of 5, so all of these were 4 out of 5s, except for Avengers 396 and Wire Fence, which I gave 3 out of 5s. Cyberpunk was the top book. There were no 5 out of 5s. A woman loses her daughter and goes into Night City to find out who killed her and get revenge. And I said, I'm digging Cyberpunk way more than I thought I would and never even played the game. And that's published from Dark Horse. So, yeah, that wraps up that week. The top books, there were no 5 out of 5s, but the top book was Black Hammer 1 and 2 and Cyberpunk 2077, You Have My Word 1 through 4. So I want to thank you for listening. Again, you can find this podcast at dcnoisepodcast.com. Geekbrunchpodcast.com is just an archive. You can only pull old episodes off there. It got hacked so many times. We had difficulty with it, and we're trying to consolidate funds because we had an account that had unlimited storage, and then it went to a fixed storage, and now we're struggling with having to keep a fixed storage. So you can't like find all these episodes anymore, unfortunately. And I don't know if I even have them. I'd have to talk to Derek to say, where are these things and can you get me them? I might ask for a thumb drive and just say, you know, put everything on there. But you can reach us there. You will find Geek Brunch on DC Noise Podcast. You'll find Geek Brunch Retrocast, Mike M's Weekly Reads, and anything else that I do there. So, yes, thank you for the questions. Please keep them coming. I keep them stocked up so I can answer them, and they keep the show going. Please leave an iTunes review if you're on iTunes or Spotify, if they have anything there that you can leave some kind of review or that say that you listen to it. Anytime that you can retweet an episode or share it, that's also appreciated. If you don't want to go leave a review, thank you for supporting the show. Those that do listen, I keep it going. I don't want to lose listeners, and I know if I ever pod fade for just a little bit that I have potential to lose the 5 people that do listen to this show. So I keep them going. I don't know how many people listen. Every now and then I get an email and I'm like, wow, I didn't know we had somebody listen to that. Or I have like a creator contact me and say, you know, thank you for the praises on my book. And I had no idea how they found the show other than, you know, searching Google for reviews of the book and somehow linking into our site. But, yeah, you can reach me at X at Mike Myers Brunch or at Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch and send me email at MikeMyersBrunch@gmail.com. Note that it has changed. I am migrating off of the Mike at ComicBookNoise.com because that feed costs money. I am thinking of starting a Patreon just to help support the costs of the show, because this used to be all free and now I'm starting to pay for it, and Derek can't afford to keep all these rising costs on the shows running. So yeah, it's starting to like mount up, you know. So it's weird, it's like they gave us this storage for so long and now somebody in bought the company or whatever and says, we can't do this. Geek Brunch is 4 hours long. It takes up so much space. We can't do this. So they start charging for it. And everything gets expensive, you know. So I want to thank you for listening. And we will talk to you soon.